Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
You can high five the person next to you and take your seat. Great job. Well, I'm 21 years old. I was born in Mandurah. I love Mandurah. Anyone from Mandurah? I love Mandurah so much. I have the most wonderful family in the world. I'm so thankful for my mom and my dad who support me so well. I have two sisters, an older sister named Braylee, and I'm also a twin. So my twin sister, her name is Calum, and they're just the best. Look at them. I absolutely love my family, and we're kind of a spontaneous family. We kind of just always do things together, and I just love spending time with them. I'm the proud owner of three chickens. They are the sweetest little animals. They're actually, I don't like to admit it, but they're actually really cheeky. They're a little bit naughty, but I would say that they're cheeky. And I just love this life that I get to live. I accepted Jesus into my life when I was in year six, and I've been following him for about 11 years now. And it's just been the greatest adventure to follow God. And all my life, I've had a heart for the next generation. So it's such a privilege to be the kids coordinator here at church and see God move in the lives of his children. We're in a series at the moment called Sons and Daughters, teaching your kids that they belong to God, that they are a son and a daughter of God, and that God is their perfect father. And recently I've seen so many kids come in hungry to experience an encounter with God, and it's so great. I serve alongside the best kids team in the world. I tell them this every single week, the best kids team in the whole entire world. And can I just ask you, church, never stop praying for kids ministry and all that God wants to do in it. All right, are you ready for the Word of God? Yeah. Haven't lost you yet? No. Great. All right. Well, before we get into it, let's pray. Let's pray. So why don't you close your eyes and bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we get to meet with you this morning. I thank you, Father, for what you want to do. And I just pray, God, would our hearts be open to receive what you want to do? And I pray, God, that our ears and our eyes would be open to you as well, God. I pray that I would be a good steward of your word you've given me this morning. And God, just let your kingdom come this morning, God. And we pray this in your mighty name. Amen. 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 So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you open up to Luke 13, verse 6 to 9. It says, "Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree going in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, 'For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?' 'Sir,' the man replied, 'leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down.'" What a great passage of scripture. You know, my message for you is simple today. It's this: I am made to bear good fruit. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You are made to bear good fruit." Do you know what? It's so funny. You turn to one person and then the other person's like, "Oh no." So you guys are like, "Which way do I turn to?" It looked funny. Anyway, now I was thinking, and I want to ask you today, have you ever wanted to plant a strawberry plant? Has anyone ever wanted to? So good. You go to Bunnings, you get the soil ready, you buy some fertilizer, you have some snail pellets because snails are the worst. And then you go to Bunnings and you pick out the perfect pear tree. And you think, "This is the perfect tree. You're going to give me the most perfect strawberries ever." Has anyone ever done that before? No, what? You take it home, you plant it in the garden, and you look after it every single day. You make sure you water it. You check no snails have eaten it. You look if there's any fruit, even though you only bought it yesterday. You wait for this strawberry plant to bear fruit, and then you find that it actually gives you pears. Crazy, right? And you think, "This is not what I wanted." Can I tell you, Nations Church, that the fruit that we bear is a reflection of what is happening inside of us? You know, strawberry seeds produce strawberry plants because they are made up of strawberry things. I'm not going to get into it, okay? But they're made up, their eternal makeup is of a strawberry, okay? You can never expect a strawberry to produce a pear because they're just different, right? Great. The fruit of our life will show what kind of person we really are. The fruit we are bearing is a result of what is happening inside of us. Instead, you might go to Bunnings. You look for a strawberry plant. You go to the strawberry section. You pick out a strawberry plant, maybe one that already has a little green strawberry on it, because then we get strawberries faster, right? You buy the plant, you take it home, you water it, and in a few weeks' time, your strawberry plant gives you strawberries. How exciting. That makes sense, doesn't it? I'm so glad we're on the same page. So I want to ask you, what fruit are you bearing? You know, we can be like this strawberry plant. Our intention is to buy a strawberry plant, but we did it again and we bought a pear tree. We desire so much to be a strawberry farmer, to have our own strawberries, enough to make some strawberry jam, but all we bear is a bucket load of pears. We can desire to have strawberries. I'm kind of hungry saying strawberries so much now, but so sorry. But we actually need the inner workings of a strawberry to produce a strawberry, right? Let me put it like this. We hold on to bitterness towards a person and we ask God, God, why can't I experience joy in this situation? The fruit is there's no joy. We constantly get angry at our children or our spouse and we ask God, God, why is peace lacking in my household? The fruit is that there is no peace. You know, we go into work and as soon as that person looks at us or makes a comment at us, we ignore them and we tell God, God, it's so hard for me to love this person and to show kindness to them. My workplace just isn't a good place to be. The fruit is that there is no kindness. You know, the fruit we produce is a reflection of what is happening inside of us. If we hold on to anger, our fruit will be, if we are angry, our fruit will be anger. If we are bitter, our fruit will be bitterness. You know, if when we hold on to these fruits, we experience a lack of peace. We experience a lack of joy. Is this okay? Great. Proverbs 4:23, it tells us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You know, the fruit we bear shows what is happening inside of us internally. We see in the parable that God has an expectation that we would bear good fruit, that we would bear fruit that matters. So I wonder today, what kind of fruit are you bearing? Is it rotting or is it a blessing? The fruit of our life will show what kind of person we are. So if we're walking close with Jesus, we will bear fruit that comes from him. If walking with the world, we will bear fruit that comes from the world. We can't expect a strawberry plant to bear strawberries if we have planted a pear tree instead. So I want to ask you today, what fruit are you bearing? Is your fruit rotten or is your fruit fresh? And this leads me to point number one. I am made to bear good fruit. Say, I am made to bear good fruit. Oh, I'm so glad. So, you are made to bear good fruit. You know, I just actually felt on my spirit when I was preparing this message to remind you that you are a child of God. And because you are his child, you are actually made to bear his fruit. You know, as children of God, we need this not to be something that we're so passionate about telling our kids in kids' church, not something that, oh yes, I'm a child of God. All right, let's go to the shops. You know, but we need this something. We need this to be something deep down in our heart, that I am a child of God and that I am made to bear fruit. And because you are made by the Creator, you're made by the Creator. And because you're made by the Creator, you are made to bear fruit. You know, God speaks to us as his creation. Aren't we glad about that? He made us and he calls us his. And I want to tell you today that it's not only your desire to want to bear good fruit, but it's actually God's desire for you to bear good fruit as well. Great. Now, if I was preaching in kids ministry, I'd clarify what fruit we would bear. You know, if I was in kids, I would say, we don't bear bananas. We don't bear kiwi fruits or apples. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So let's read it in Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Come on, we should know this. Peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And you might be sitting there wondering, well, Eilish, how can I bear joy when my anxiety is so high? How can I carry kindness when this illness has overtaken me for so long? Or Eilish, it's just hard for me to bear good fruit. Can I encourage you with this? We are made to bear good fruit. We are made to be fruity people. You know, God looks for fruit all year round, not only in our season we are in right now. We can bear good fruit in our lives regardless of where we are. There might be manure, but we can grow all year. In the parable we read earlier, the man says, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. He said, cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. You know, even though the fig tree didn't produce fruit, the man didn't leave it alone. He gave it special care. You know, we can see manure as stinky, as messy and uncomfortable, but God wants to nourish and prepare you. He wants to prepare you for fruit bearing to come. We need to look up and we need to look at it with our spiritual eyes and ask, God, what are you trying to do here? Is that okay? Beautiful. You know, I love my family, like I already said, and my parents are gardeners, and that's something that I really love about them. And my favorite time is springtime, and we have this like little cottage garden out the front of our house, and you can imagine in springtime, it looks beautiful. There's flowers that come up. There's just so much life in springtime. There's the, we have this like vine thing that grows. Don't know what it's called exactly, but it's beautiful. Like, oh, flowers come out. There's so many bees and butterflies, and we see birds in the garden, and it's just so much life in our garden. And do you know what my dad does every single spring? He comes along and he gets rid of it all. He brings his mulcher out. He brings his mulch out. He cuts down the branches. He cuts down everything. He brings his, like, he gets his mulcher. He gets the lawnmower. We have this little hedge that grows all around the garden. It's really beautiful. He gets the lawnmower and he mows over the hedge. So the hedge is no more. And he turns what was this beautiful, lovely garden into a space that looks extremely dead and stinky, as if nothing grows. And I remember Dad does this every single year. I remember one year I had enough of Dad doing this. I walked up to him and I was angry with Dad and I said, Dad, why do you get rid of the garden every single year when it's looking its best? Why can't you do it when the flowers are already done, you know, when everything is done, when they're finished blooming and, you know, the bees have found another garden? And do you know what he said to me? It's so profound. It stuck with me ever since. He said, Eilish, the garden will look so much better if I do this year. It's actually healthy for the garden to be cut like this. And you know what I did? I was mad at him for giving me a good justification, so I walked away. But in all seriousness, we have a good gardener named God who desires for us to bear fruit. He desires for us to bear fruit all year round, even in the mulch, even in the pruning and the taking away, even in the stinky season, you are made to bear fruit. So you might feel like you're stuck in manure right now. Guess what? You're made to bear fruit. You might feel like you're getting pruned right now. Guess what? You are made to bear fruit. You might feel like you're blooming right now. Guess what? You are still made to bear fruit. Point number one, I am made to bear good fruit. And point number two, I am made to bear new fruit. Say new fruit.
New fruit.
Beautiful. In order to bear new fruit, we actually need to let go of the old and embrace the new creation God has for us. In Isaiah 43 verse 18, Isaiah wrote prophetically to Israel. They were hindered in the desperate circumstances of captivity and exile, and God wanted to put their eyes on the new work he would do, so he began with a reminder. Let's read it in Isaiah 43 verse 18. It says, "But the Lord says, do not cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It is happening already. You can see it. Now, I'll make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there." You know, this was prophesied when they were stuck in exile. That's a pretty bad time. You know, if Israel was stuck in the failure and sin and discouragement of the past, they would never move forward to the new thing God had for them. And, you know, we are exactly the same. We can't bear new fruit if we are dwelling on the old fruit. You know, our fleshly nature, come on, wants to stay fixated on the old fruit, but God is calling us to not get stuck, to move forward with him. So we can say this year we can say to ourselves, at work, everyone knows me as a person with a quick temper, but this year, God is asking me to move forward with him and carry love into my workplace. You know, I used to carry anger into all my family events, but this year, God is asking me to move forward with him and bring peace to all my family events. Come on, anxiety used to cripple me and I couldn't join a Connect group. But this year, God wants to do a new thing in me and give me peace to find a Connect group. We can look at ourselves and see that instead of wearing new fruit, we are wearing fruit that is rotten, that has maggots in it, and it stinks really bad. And to be honest with you, I felt convicted writing this message because I was like, I can't stand on this stage and, you know, preach about being fruity when I feel like I'm still a little bit stinky, but God works in all seasons of our lives. You know, Nations Church, we are made to bear new fruit. And in bearing new fruit, it means we get rid of the old ways to move forward into the new thing God has for us. You know, our bin day is on a Tuesday. Anyone else have their bin day on a Tuesday? Yay, we have some people. Great. And, you know, a few years ago, probably 2 years ago, I had Tuesdays at home. And one particular Tuesday, I was sitting on the couch and I saw the bin man come. And our house overlooks the street in front of us. And I was standing there watching him empty the bins. And God spoke so profoundly to me. He said, Eilish, you're so quick to get rid of the rubbish that's in your house, but you're not so quick to get rid of the rubbish that's on your heart. That, yeah, ouch, all right? And then I pondered on it and I thought, that is so true. I'm always quick to empty the bin inside my house because I don't want my house to be a stinky house where I live, you know? I don't want that. But inside, I was letting myself stink. I was watching the bin man empty the bins, and to be honest with you, all these things started coming up. I had judgment towards one person that had annoyed me. The words I was speaking against myself were rotting inside of me. And if you looked at me, my fruit was rotten. And I had to sit on the couch, and while this bin man is like going down the street, I sat there and I literally was repenting while God was getting rid of all this old fruit that was on me to bear forth new fruit. And you know, we have to be intentional about looking at ourselves and see, what fruit am I bearing right now? You know, we have an invitation to bear new fruit with Christ. And you know, I might be weird, but I personally love bin days now because sometimes the weeks can get ahead of me and I have rotten fruit inside of me, but every single Tuesday I get the reminder, hey Eilish, clean yourself. This fruit is a bit rotten. Hey Eilish, God wants to bear new fruit of patience this week. Hey Eilish, you've held on to this for too long. You need to repent now. But I also get the opportunity to ask, hey God, what fruit do you want me to bear this week? You know, God desires for us to bear new fruit, which leads me to point number 3. I am made to abide. Say abide.
Abide.
Beautiful. How do you produce fruit? You abide. You know, fruit comes from abiding. I'm going to go a little bit deeper here. Is that okay, Nations Church? Great. Fruit comes from abiding. And I want to ask you, Nations Church, you have to be honest with me. Have you ever walked past a branch or a tree, a branch on a tree, and it looks exhausted? You look at it and you look at it and you're like, wow, I can almost hear you panting. You look that exhausted. Have you ever seen that before? No, right? No? Yes? No. Branches just sit and abide. You know, John 15 verse 4 tells us that remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Band, you can come and join me. You know, fruit is not developed by striving. You know, trees don't struggle to produce fruit. Branches sit on a tree and they just bear fruit. You know, it's your surrender, not your striving, that the Holy Spirit will use to produce his character in you. It's your attachment to the Holy Spirit that brings fruit. And, you know, as followers of Jesus, instead of making up fruit for ourselves, we should work more on developing a close relationship with him. And guess what will happen? Fruit will come. You know, we need to honestly ask ourselves, are we working on getting fruit by striving or abiding? You see, the problem with striving is this: we do it in our own fleshly strength instead of letting the Holy Spirit produce these qualities in us by a continuous surrender to his indwelling presence. Beautiful. Now, we are designed to bear fruit. We are created for good works. Work and labor is part of our lives. You know, God created us for good works, but we also need to ask ourselves, are we striving or are we abiding? God called us to work. You know, he worked for 6 days and then he rested for one. But are we striving to bear fruit or are we abiding in Jesus? And out of that abiding flows a connection with him. Can I go a little bit deeper? We're going deep today, Nations Church. We must be aware of what we're working out of. Are we working out of flesh or are we working out of the Spirit? Galatians 5:16 to 17 says, what I say is this, let the Spirit direct your lives and you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature. For what our human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants. And what the spirit wants is opposed to what our human nature wants. These two are enemies, and this means that you cannot do what you want to do. You know, reading this, it shows me that there are two approaches to character formation: the flesh or the Holy Spirit, works or fruit. You know, there's no one way that anyone can fulfill the lust of the flesh as they walk in the Spirit. They both just don't go together. The Holy Spirit doesn't move in us to gratify our fallen desires and passions, but to teach us and teach us about Jesus and guide us in the path of Jesus. And this is the key, walking in step with the Spirit, letting the Spirit produce fruit in us instead of letting ourselves manufacture fruit for ourselves. You know, can I tell you, to be honest with you, I actually really struggled with this. I've been the kids coordinator for about a year, closer to a year and a half. I don't know, maybe 2 years. I think close to a year and a half. And when I first got in the role, I was working hard. And to be honest with you, I haven't told anybody this, but I said to myself, I don't know how long I can do this for. That's what I said to myself. I don't know how long I can do this for. And you see, I was striving. I wasn't abiding. I honestly didn't take enough time to seek God for kids ministry and be diligent in stewarding the role well. But I was carrying it in my own strength. And God spoke to me and my perspective changed. It was like glasses had taken off me and I realized, Eilish, you are doing this all in your own strength. You are not abiding. And I started abiding and I felt so much lighter. I felt an ease to the role. I prioritized prayer. I was intentional about surrendering kids ministry to God. And do you know what? I saw kids ministry bear so much fruit. And for people in the room, I know that God has this for you too. You will experience good fruit in your life when you quit striving and start abiding. You know, I want to encourage you today that bearing good fruit can be for you too. You can stand here today and say, I want 2025 to be a fruitful year, regardless of what comes my way. I want this year to be a year of bearing good fruit. When we buy, I had this weird picture, but like when we buy a mandarin tree, we don't buy the mandarin tree, plant it in our garden and say, I hope you never bear fruit. We don't do that, right? We buy a mandarin tree and we go, I hope you bear me the most delicious mandarins ever. Probably I would like mandarins without seeds in it, because who doesn't like seeds? But, you know, God expects the same for us too. He doesn't want us just to sit there and not be fruitful, but He wants us to be fruitful as well, okay? You know, your family needs to experience the good fruit that God wants to do in your life. Your workplace needs to experience the good fruit that God wants to do in your life. Come on, the community needs a church to experience good fruit. And not only do you need it, not only do I need it, but the people around us need it too.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.